Hello, hello. Welcome to What to Read Wednesdays, your go-to podcast for staff picks from your friends at Delaware County District Library. Here, we'll talk about books, podcasts, and other relevant media. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Hello, all. So much has happened in the last couple of weeks. The main library is now open for browsing. Our hours are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 to 5, Tuesday and Thursday, 11 to 7. Saturday is also 9 to 5. For the opening of the other branches and all that information, please go to our website at www.delawarelibrary.org and you'll find that information there. So I bet you didn't know that we had other podcasts, but the Delaware Library staff is full of ideas and we have so much to offer you that we have also started, I haven't, but my friends Luke and Dan have started another podcast. It's called Library Guys Go to the Movies. I could tell you about it, but I'd prefer if they tell you about it.
Hey Annie, this is Dan from Outreach.
And Luke from Orange Reference.
Hello DCDL listeners.
Not only do we have a book recommendation for you,
but we would like to shamelessly promote our podcast.
Library guys, go to the movies. We bring you the best of the worst movies out there.
It's just two guys talking about movies and other stuff.
So without further ado, a book we would like to recommend is Pet Sematary by a little known author named Stephen King.
I would like to go on record is saying that everyone should read or listen to at least one Stephen King novel in their lifetime.
I read the book.
And I listened to it on the Libby app. Side note, it is over 15 hours long.
If you don't know, it's a story about a dead boy.
And that's it. The cat dies, too.
I don't want to give things away.
Okay, all right. It's about a dead boy and a dead cat. I give it a solid 4 out of 5 for being suspenseful, sometimes scary. It was very well performed by Michael C. Hall. You probably know him as Dexter from the Showtime series.
I get a 4 out of 5 as well. I enjoy the original movie. I have one of my favorite bands performed the soundtrack to that.
Okay, so if you have seen the movies, and yes, there are two of them, then you will definitely like the book more, or like the book better. No, wait, I got it. You will like the book more better, don't you know?
I'm not sure that's grammatically correct. We do work in a library, and we live in Ohio.
But I'm bringing it here, don't you know?
Anyway, you can get a copy of Pet Sematary by Stephen King from any of the Delaware County District Libraries.
Or listen to it on your Libby app.
And give a listen to our podcast, Library Guys Go to the Movies.
It'll be right here on Podbean.
Check it out.
Don't you know?
Check it out.
An awesome duo. That is, it's just so much fun. So go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Summer Reading Club looks a little different this year, but we are still doing virtual programs and prizes for reading. Actual prizes, not virtual prizes. All that information is available on our website, and you can always email us at askus@delawarelibrary.org. Speaking of Summer Reading Club, the first person we are going to hear from is Hillary with her recommendations for juvenile fiction.
Hi everyone, I am Hillary from the Delaware PAL branch, and I'm here to recommend 2 juvenile fiction books for you today. The first one is I Can Make This Promise by Christine Day, which is her debut middle grade novel. I Can Make This Promise is a story about identity, family, and friendship. It takes our universal question about wondering where we are from, what our origins are, and sets it in the discovery of a box in the attic. A young girl named Edie is desperate to learn more about her Native American heritage. She knows her mother was adopted when she was a baby, but her mom will not share anything about her family of origin. One day, Edie and 2 friends are rummaging around in her attic when they find a box of letters with a photo of a woman who looks nearly identical to Edie. Furthermore, they discover the woman's name is Edith. Prepare yourself for a journey of self-discovery combined with the very sad history that ignited the Indian Child Welfare Act of 1978. This book is so important for children of all backgrounds to read, as it brings to light many important issues around adoption, Indigenous communities of the Pacific Northwest, the separation of children from their families before the Indian Child Welfare Act of 1978, and the trials and tribulations of adolescent friendship. Now, I don't want to give too much away about the book, but I honestly had no idea that the Indian Child Welfare Act was a thing. I had no idea that if a Native woman gave birth in a hospital, the doctors and social workers actively took their babies away from them, and many never saw their children again. These children were put into foster care or put up for adoption. I cried when I read this book. But Edith has such an amazing journey in learning her heritage, growing closer to her parents, learning what makes a true friend, and standing up for herself. I can't recommend this book more. This is an own voices story, and some read-alikes include Blended by Sharon Draper, One Crazy Summer by Rita Williams Garcia, and Four Black Girls Like Me by Mariama Lockington. The second book that I'm going to recommend to you today is The Jumbies by Tracy Baptiste. What's a jumbie? Corrine and her friends know. In Trinidad, where Corrine lives with her widowed papa on the edge of the forest, a jumbie is an evil spirit that comes out at night to suck blood, steal children, or lure people into peril. This is the kind of creature parents tell stories about to frighten their children. Corrine knows they are not real, but when a beautiful woman suddenly takes an interest in papa, she starts digging deeper. With the help of her friends, Drew, Malik, and Buki, she discovers something deeply sinister going on. Structural elements similar to those of classic European fairy tales, like a brave girl, an evil stepmother, a magic amulet, look fresh and lively and no less scary in a Caribbean setting. Readers will thrill to see the werewolf-like Lagahu and the creepy little Duins who have backward-facing feet. With a diverse cast of multidimensional characters, a swift plot, and a unique setting, this book will delight many. It's also the first book in a series, so if you really enjoy The Jumbies, you'll be able to read more about Corrine and her family and friends' adventures. Now, I'm a wuss who hates to be scared, so reading a horror book was a big stretch for me. However, I really enjoyed this book. The story was very original and fast-paced, and just scary enough to give me a spook. While there are elements of horror, it isn't too scary for middle-grade readers. This is an action-packed, own-voices, fantasy horror story, and read-alikes include Hoodoo by Ronald L. Smith, A Tale Dark and Grim by Adam Gidwitz, and Spirit Hunters by Ellen O. I hope that you enjoy these books as much as I did, and happy reading.
Amazing sounding titles, Hillary. I appreciate your recommendations. Next, we have Julie, who is also from the Powell branch, and it is also a juvenile fiction. The title is The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise. It's by Dan Gammonhart. It's recommended for ages 9 to 12. But it's such an incredible story, Julie recommends it for everyone. A read-alike would be See You in the Cosmos by Jack Chang. Julie says, this is a heartwarming story about Coyote and her dad, Rodeo, who have journeyed across the country on their old school bus they've named Jaeger. Jaeger and the road have been their home for the past 5 years, ever since Coyote tragically lost her mother and two sisters in a car accident. Talking about the past is a no-go for Rodeo, so the pair look to the future and embrace the adventures ahead. That is, until Coyote gets some disturbing news from her grandma. The park in her old neighborhood is being demolished. More importantly, the memory box Coyote buried with her mother and sisters in that park will be gone forever if she doesn't get back in time to retrieve it. Coyote knows her dad will never take her home, so she must trick him into driving her back to her home state of Washington from Florida in 4 days. The pair manage to pick up a cast of characters along the way. These passengers, who all have issues of their own, add to the drama and excitement of the cross-country trip. This coming-of-age tale captures the essence of friendship, acceptance, loss, love, and being a good human being. Wonderful recommendation, Julie. Personally, I'm a fan of Dan Gammonhart. One of his first books was called The Honest Truth, which was one of my favorite juvenile fiction books of that year. Our next guest should sound familiar to you who listen to our radio show, Off the Shelf. Nicole is our communications manager, and she has some great STEM recommendations.
Hello, hello. I am Nicole Faust, the communications manager at the Delaware Library. And if you didn't know, at the back of every quarter's newsletter, there is a staff review. This past spring, I was able to write some recommendations for the issue, which focused on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. So these are some similar themes that come across in some of my favorite books. Each of these books will make you laugh, they might make you cry, or they might make you tremble with fear. So here are my recommendations. My first recommendation is STIFF, The Curious Lives of Human Cadavers by Mary Roach. Reader likes might include Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs by Caitlin Doty. So Mary Roach started her writing career as a columnist for a newspaper, which is how STIFF came to be. She has the amazing ability to take interesting and sometimes disturbing topics and make them light and humorous while still being based in fact. She's got chapters like A Head is a Terrible Thing to Waste, about how a body donated to science can be dismembered and shipped separately to different places, and other chapters like On Human Decay and What Can Be Done About It, about how forensic scientists really learn to identify a 10-day dead body versus a 10-year dead body. This is a good book for those who are curious enough to find out what happens to a body that has been donated to science. My second recommendation is The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Rebecca Skloot. Another similar read-alike would be The Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down by Anne Fadiman. So this is another true story told by a science journalist, and this book will make your heart ache for Henrietta and the turmoil her family lived through. So known only to science in the world of science as Hela, Henrietta was a poor black southern woman suffering from cervical cancer. Her cells were taken from her without her consent and developed into one of the most important tools in modern medicine. Hela cells helped develop the polio vaccine and uncover secrets of cancer, but yet the Lacks family never received a penny for her contribution to science. This book is as much a history of Henrietta as it is the author's journey to earn the Lacks family trust and to allow their story to be told. Finally, my third recommendation is Robopocalypse by Daniel H. Wilson. A similar read-alike would be Sleeping Giants by Sylvain Nouvel. So this takes a turn to some STEM-related fiction writing instead of the former two, which were nonfiction. Robopocalypse will intrigue and terrify you. In it, the world's first true artificial intelligence, Arcos, awakens and decides that it can better see over humanity than humanity itself. Everything smart is overtaken by Arcos, and humankind is left to defend itself. Cutting-edge technology and gripping action scenes keep you engaged in this story to an all-too-near future. I hope you enjoy.
Well, some of those sound simultaneously gross and fascinating, and I hope that you are inspired to read them. So today, I would like to give my own recommendations on a few titles, well, a couple of titles that I found absolutely fantastic. The first one is a juvenile fiction called Caterpillar Summer. Cat is 12 years old, and ever since Daddy died of cancer several years previously, she has taken on the responsibility of caring for her little brother Chicken. It is not explicitly said, but it is apparent that Chicken is probably on the autistic spectrum. Chicken requires careful attention, and Cat is the only one who seems to know what to do when he has a meltdown or knows where to look when he runs away. While on their way to visit friends in Atlanta from California, their plans take a drastic turn, and instead, Mom drops Cat and Chicken off at her parents in North Carolina, parents she never speaks to and whom Cat and Chicken do not know. As the story progresses, we learn the family history of Cat and Chicken, and Cat learns how to be 12 years old. This is an excellent book about family, love, and understanding as Cat navigates her history and figures out how to bring the family together. The next book I'm going to recommend is from the amazing Amor Tools called Rules of Civility. This book is set in the 1930s in New York. And the story surrounds Katie Content, a 20-something stenographer, and her brushes with the upper echelons of New York society. For a book that centers on character more than plot, it moves surprisingly fast. Tolles has a beautiful way of putting you right in the story, and it is just very atmospheric. I highly recommend this for historical fiction lovers and fans of Beatrice Williams and Fiona Davis. And if you have not read A Gentleman in Moscow, please do yourself a favor and read it. It is so good. My favorite book of 2017. I think it was 2017. Anyway, that's all we have for today. I'm so glad we are able to serve you in the building now. So if you have questions, you can call us or email us, as always. I am Annie Pasma, your host. Thanks for listening.